Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Exasperated and utterly dismayed, that's how the Children's Ombudsman Niall Muldoon described his own feelings around a long list of chronic issues affecting children. He joins us now on the programme, and Niall, you're very welcome. You made those comments at an Oireachtas Children and Equality Committee earlier today. Can you talk me through what exactly it is that is leaving you so exasperated and dismayed?
Yeah, well, thank you, Sarah. Well, we've been in operation for over 20 years now. And again, across that 20 years, we've been looking at children's mental health services, the disability services, children in care. And we've been really concerned about the way those services have been provided. And we're continuously chasing the government to provide for the rights of children within those services. And today, particularly when we spoke in the Oireachtas Committee for Children, we particularly highlighted the children in care area. In 2010 or in 2014, on our 10th anniversary, we would have done a report that, looking back over the previous 10 years on children in care investigations and things like interagency cooperation, specific budgeting, social workers being overextended. They were issues then. They're still issues now. And the children are the ones that are at the sharp end of that. And, you know, across the children in care side of things that we look at and TUSLA support, we see children at risk all the way through the broad spectrum of children in care. So the foster care support is lowering. They're doing a great job within foster care, but they're 88% of the children are now within foster care, where it used to be 95%. We have special care issues all around the bed. There's beds, 26 beds set up, but only 14 working. We have trouble with proper support of kinship care, which is relatives looking after children who need special support. And we're just not prioritising children in the way that we should.
So, I mean, we are the richest we've ever been. And are you saying from that report in 2014, the situation for vulnerable children in this country is worse than it was 10 years ago?
It certainly has not improved, and the numbers are growing. And you can see, like TUSLA was set up specifically for the reason that within the HSE, they felt that children were not being properly focused on. We knew that over the 10 years prior to TUSLA being set up, the HSE never even included children in their agendas for board meetings. So it was great to set up TUSLA. Now we see that the same issues are coming up again and again. So we certainly, as a nation, haven't grasped the setting up a system that will provide the best possible support for as many of the children as possible. But there's also changes in society. I mean, fostering is often generation after generation will foster. That seems to be slowing down. We're not recruiting the same number of foster families. So that means that there's a gap that was from 95% fostering to 7%. That 7% means there's a gap in the children that now need to go into residential care. And we haven't allowed for that. We haven't.
And foster families, of course, centers. They have been looking for the amount that they're paid, the supports that they get to increase in line with cost of living. And I think there's been quite a bit of controversy over that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they got their first pay increase in about 12 years in the last budget. You know, so we don't even respect them and give them the support that they need in the valuable work that they're doing for our children, who we have decided are not safe in their own family home or in their own biological family. We've asked somebody to step in there and provide a parental family support, create the attachment, create the love, create the security for those children. And we're making them fight very hard for every penny that they get and every element of support, not just financial, but the access to a social worker, the access to a psychologist, the access to a therapist, access to education. We make it very difficult for those foster parents to really enhance their lives the way they want to.
One of the big things, obviously, that's actually quite different from 2014 when you had your initial report that you referenced there to now is the huge increase in the number of children living in emergency accommodation.
Yeah. Again, back then, there was a small number of children who might be in emergency accommodation for brief periods of time. Occasionally, you'd have families in B&Bs for 4 or 5 weeks. That'll be the height of it. Now, it's a standard thing. We're barely starting to notice. We're stopping to notice every month we get a new number coming out here, breaking records. I remember the hullabaloo when we crossed 10,000 homeless people. We're now at 4,775 children in emergency accommodation, suffering the trauma and shame of living in those sort of situations, not being able to share life with their friends, not being able to go out to play, maybe having to take 2 or 3 buses to get to school. not being able to get the full, reach the full potential that they can, both physically and emotionally, and having to hide the fact, a lot of them will hide the fact and will feel shame forever from the fact that they've lived in homelessness. And it's no fault of their parents a lot of the time. A lot of the parents now in homelessness are actually working. So there's a real disconnect between, as you say, the financial situation we find ourselves in as one of the top countries in Europe, indeed in the world, top 20 in the world, and the impact that these children are suffering through no fault of their own.
And would you be concerned, you know, as you say, there's this big hullabaloo when the number of homeless people in the country generally passed the 10,000 threshold. We heard in the Dáil today predictions, the homeless figures are out again tomorrow, and predictions being made that it's going to pass 15,000 tomorrow. I don't know whether or not it will, but it's close to that anyway. Would you be concerned that there's been a normalisation then of children growing up in hotel rooms?
I would hate to think that's the case. I think there's a normalization of people maybe not paying attention. I think the general public have stopped paying attention to the fact that this is happening. But unfortunately, children are growing up in hotel rooms, sharing, two and three children will be sharing there with a single parent or with two parents, and trying to live in that cramped accommodation, trying to survive. When we spoke to children in 2019, they told us about trying to go into the bedroom or into the bathroom to have to read their books because their siblings were going to bed at 7 o'clock and they had to turn off the light, doing their homework in their bathroom, not being able to meet with their friends, even from the family hubs. They couldn't bring friends into the room. They had to go to a public meeting room. So the impact on that in every area of a child's life, self-esteem, education, friendships, relationships, trust, it's impacting them catastrophically across the board. And we're now looking at nearly 5,000 children.
That damage, Niall, has been done really to one generation of children, has it?
Like,
is there any undoing it?
Yeah, I mean, you think in the last 10 years, you'd expect there's probably at least 10,000 children gone through that system. And the majority of them stay more than 6 months, which is officially considered as long-term homelessness. So you would expect there's a lot of children that have damage that's going to be very, very difficult to undo. And it also makes them vulnerable for poorer education outcomes, poorer employment opportunities, poorer mental health possibilities. So we're building in a long-term societal downturn for those children and those as they turn into an adult life.
So government obviously say that they're doing everything they can to address these issues by preventing people going into homelessness in the first place, supporting people who are in homelessness, and then trying to get people out of homelessness as quickly as possible. But you often hear government figures saying, you know, they do actually manage to move people, families and children on, but those spaces are filled by more people coming in. I know you're calling for a specific child and family homelessness strategy. What would that look like? How would that be different to what's being done?
I think, I mean, we were in yesterday with, or in during the week with the Dublin Regional Homeless Authority, and they were saying they just can't keep up with the level of homeless coming in. They can't exit them quickly enough. I think what we're saying is, listen, you've got to take this as a standalone situation, an absolute crisis, which involves emergency thinking and bold and brave thinking. We're suggesting that out of that nearly 5,000 children, it's 2,200 families involved. Can we not find over the next 18 months to 24 months enough houses for them to move out and to stop people falling in at the same time so that we can clear that load away? And the DRHE, just in Dublin alone, we're spending 350 million keeping people in emergency accommodation. So if you've got 2,200 families out, you've got 150 million to play with to make that happen. Mm. So you've got to see that there's both financial, but it's a political decision. We've ignored children and families specifically to think, okay, we'll just keep building houses, keep doing the same thing we've always done. And it's obviously failing. The only time there was a reduction in the children in the homelessness was when there was an eviction ban. I don't know if that's the answer, but that's the only thing. Reality over the last 10 years, that's the only time it started coming down.
Yeah.
So we need to think differently for children and families specifically, which is not a big number, because the other people in homelessness are a different set of issues then that need to be dealt with slightly differently.
Yeah, and I know you're saying that we've ignored this cohort, but again, government will point to, you know, an increase in social homes that are being built, an increase in affordable homes that are being built, and then all the different pressures from elsewhere. You know, there is demand for homes from outside those who are homeless, and I know that, I understand why you're saying this should be the priority, but there is a huge demand and we're failing to even come close to meeting the demand that's there.
Yeah, but again, as what, even with our small, I mean, even last year when we failed to hit the target was 40,000, we created 30,000 units, 30,000 homes. And I'm talking about moving 2,200 families. Okay. Surely that's not impossible over a course of 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, to make sure that that is going to happen. And there, it's just that sort of brave, bold, unusual in a mark in time. So it doesn't have to be something you build in and do that every single time. But it just, we've got to clear the decks and ensure that nobody falls into homelessness in the future, while at the same time clearing away those families into a safe, secure place. Whether that's, and that's, that takes brave and bold thinking.
You, the question of a redress scheme came up at one of your committee appearances this week. Some sort of possibility that years down the line, looking back on what we're living through right now, there'll be calls for redress for the children that we've been discussing, who have been damaged from their years spent in emergency accommodation. Do you think that's likely? And it's so upsetting to have to even talk about that right now, given it's happening right now, that this is something that we may be talking about in years to come. But do you think it's likely? And is it useful even?
Well, I suppose, I mean, it was brought up. But it was from our point of view, I think we've got to start focusing on making sure what's happening now is crucial. That has to be front and centre. Mm. The idea of mentioning a redress is just some way to scare the government into doing something now. But I would rather the government do the right thing now and make sure these children are focused and they have a strategy for it. Because the government, remember, on a national basis, have committed to ending homelessness by 2030, which is the Lisbon Treaty is a European commitment across that they've already made. And all we said in 2020 is, you need to start with children, taking children out of homelessness. So if you can do that, the 5 years left to end homelessness, you've got to be brave and strong and start with children and families, or else you're going to leave a legacy of shame, disruption, and really, really damaged children going into their teens and their 20s. And that will come back to bite us in various different ways. And we don't need it to be that way.
Just finally then, Niall, you mentioned your report in 2014, and your most recent report is the 20th report that the Office of the Ombudsman for Children has done. Do you feel like you're being listened to? Is anyone listening to you, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, at times it can feel like we're not being listened to, but the reality is we are. I know what's happening. A lot of these changes happen slowly and over time. I mean, one of our catchphrases in the office is patience and persistence. You know, we've seen big changes. 2017, we took children for the first time out of adult prisons. We put them into Obersund Detention Centre. We've seen a reduction in children going into adult psychiatric wards. There's lots of changes happening all around us, and that's part of our job, is to keep shouting, keep ensuring that children are to the fore of people's thinking, and changes will come. And that's why we've specifically asked for going big. We're looking to incorporate the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which, as your listeners will know, it's the commitment the government made in 1992 to uphold all children's rights, 42 rights from across the world. Everybody's agreed to this, and we want to put that into domestic law so that from here on in, decisions are made by public servants and civil servants that are all child rights compliant.
Okay.
Every decision they start, every policy they start, every legislation they start, they say, right, how do we make this child right compliant? And you undo all the damage that's been done at the moment with bad systems, having to play catch up and have to fix the broken system. This way you start to create a far better, more workable system.
Children's Ombudsman Niall Muldoon, thank you very much for joining us.